2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by and not by," that's right, "we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by a printed out agenda. We don't walk by a 10-year plan." And there's nothing wrong with if you make a 10-year plan. Just know if you're a Christian, God has editing rights. But we walk by faith. We trust Him. We believe Him. And that's the guidance principle, the principle of faith.
The psalmist wrote, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act." Have you entrusted every aspect of your life to the Lord? That's exactly what we should do. And it's what we're called to do. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig uses the life of Paul the Apostle to show us how God provides guidance for our lives.
Before we dive into today's message, here's some info on this month's resource from The Connection. Learn how you can be a positive influence for Christ with Skip Heitzig's book, God Print, which explores the life of Abraham. You'll also receive a mug that features a one-of-a-kind picture of Jerusalem taken by Skip. Order this resource at connectiononline.org/offers.
Now, let's get into the teaching. If you'll open your Bibles to Acts chapter 21, we begin today's study with Pastor Skip.
Question, how many of you have ever been lost? Show of hands, honest show of hands, you've been lost. Okay, you've been driving in your car, you didn't get the directions right, you're now frustrated, maybe even a little frightened because you overshot it by 200 miles, I don't know. You're lost. It's no fun. Imagine what it was like for the astronauts in 1970 in the Apollo 13 mission as they were making their lunar orbit to completely lose communication with Houston. The course was set, but they couldn't for an entire night, several hours, hear or talk to mission control in Houston. It was a very eerie feeling, the astronauts said. Though the course was set, they heard nothing. They didn't know what was going to happen. Well, a lot has changed since 1970, technologically speaking. And now they have these great things out there called the GPS. I brought one. I had to borrow one. I should get one. I don't have one. But I think they're like the coolest devices ever. This is how it works. There's about 24 satellites around the Earth that if you have this on, make it accurate, down to 30 feet. Can be anywhere and it'll pinpoint where you are and you can put in there where you want to go. Now, whenever I travel, I usually rent a Hertz rent-a-car and they often will have a little GPS attached to the wheel and they call theirs Never Lost. I like that. Hertz Never Lost. And when you program in where you want to go and if you do overshoot it or take the wrong turn, there's a little voice in there that says, "Recalculating." And then it'll recalculate and basically in a nice way say, "You totally blew it, turn around, go the right direction, get on with the program." Okay, there's a major issue in the Christian life, and that issue is guidance. How can I know God's will for my life? How can I go in the right direction and get to the right destination that God wants me to go in? And have you discovered that sometimes knowing God's will is pretty obvious and easy, almost like a GPS? But a whole lot of the time, it's very difficult. And we wonder, like Job, who said, "I cry out to you, but you do not answer me." When I was a brand new Christian, I was a little bit obsessed in a strange way with the will of God for my life. I didn't know how it worked. True story. I went into the garage. I got a staff, like a broom handle. That's all we had. And I walked up to the nearest mountain by my house with a pad of paper and a pencil, waiting to hear God's will for my life. I'd seen Charlton Heston do it on the movie. I thought it's going to work for me. And I sat there for quite a long time trying to figure out what I was supposed to do. Now, as weird as that was, I actually knew someone who was even weirder than I was. And this guy got in his car, would drive down the street, come up to a stop sign, and he would pray, "Should I turn right, God? Should I turn left, Lord? Should I go straight?" And then he would wait and he'd feel some kind of an impulse. Okay, I'd turn right and I'd go down. He'd do it at like every stop sign, wanting to hear from God. I think if God were to speak audibly, he'd say, "Get off the road. You're a danger." Now, how do God's people come to know his voice? What's our GPS? How does God's positioning system work? Well, I've had you turn to Acts chapter 21. It's a great place to start because Paul feels deeply in his heart that he should go to Jerusalem while other people around him would say, not a good choice. Don't do this. Now, as we go on with the story, we discover that because he does go to Jerusalem, he gets arrested, and pretty much for the rest of his life, he's a prisoner. He's bound. His ministry of traveling is completely stopped because he goes to Jerusalem, which then leaves us with the question, should he have gone or shouldn't he have gone? Let's see what happens. Chapter 21, verse 1. It came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos. And the following day to Rhodes, from there to Patara, and finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. When we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave one of one another, we boarded the ship and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them 1 day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with them. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now, when we had heard these things, both we and they from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So, when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Question is, was it? Verse 15, after those days, we packed and went up to Jerusalem. Now this morning, I'd like to give you 4 components to finding your way. 4 components to finding your way. And first is the guidance principle. And we all know what that is. It's the principle of faith. Faith. Faith is what turns the GPS on, so to speak. Faith gives us access to the guidance network. Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. You're going to lead me. I trust that will happen. And that's what happened with Paul. Now, it's important for us to go back and see the very first time this thought to go to Jerusalem came into Paul's thinking. So go back with me, if you don't mind, to chapter 19, just 2 chapters. Chapter 19, when this first comes up. I'll tell you where he's at. He's in Ephesus. He's been there for a while. He sees amazing results, and he makes a declaration of faith. Chapter 19, verse 19. "Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, 'After I have been there, I must see Rome also.'" Okay, so he's in Ephesus. He has just seen a mighty work. He has seen a powerful spiritual harvest. The results were good. And upon seeing them, this is the first declaration that he makes. And it's a declaration of faith. God has been so faithful here. I trust him that he wants us to go to Jerusalem and take this whole program of evangelism all the way back to Jerusalem. Notice it says Paul purposed in the Spirit. Now, in my Bible, it has a capital S. And most translators and scholars would say it's probably a misprint. It should be a small s, not referring to the Holy Spirit, but here referring to Paul's Spirit. Paul purposed in his own spirit. And that's why many translations will render this verse, Paul made up his mind. This is a statement of faith. God has been so glorious here. Let's go to Jerusalem. He trusted. Now, you know the principle. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by and not by, that's right, we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by a printed out agenda. We don't walk by a 10-year plan. And there's nothing wrong with if you make a 10-year plan. Just know if you're a Christian, God has editing rights. But we walk by faith. We trust him. We believe him. And that's the guidance principle, the principle of faith. And that's where Paul is at. I believe deeply in my heart that this is what God wants for my life and for our team. A foundational truth about guidance is this. God wants you to know his will. Do you believe that? God wants you to know his will. I might want to phrase that another way. God wants you to know that he'll guide you in his will. You may not exactly know his will at the time. That's where the faith comes in. But he wants to reveal his will to us. And the Bible's filled with those promises. Like Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Psalm 32, I will instruct and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Isaiah 58, verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually. So, God is in the GPS business. He guides. He directs. But, not in advance, not in totality, but incrementally. He doesn't give it to you all at one time, but he gives it to you in increments. You know why? So you'll keep coming back to him. See, if God would give to you a printout, a computer printout of his will for your life 24/7, every day for the next year, you'd probably, and I would probably take it and just run with it. But we don't do that. We get up every day and we go, God, I surrender myself to you by faith. Direct me today. So you walk a little bit, you get a little bit of guidance, you come back to him and you ask him for more. And this keeps us coming back and staying tethered into his will. It's very similar to what God told the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Remember when he said, I'm bringing you into the land, I'm going to get rid of your enemies. God said, but I won't do it in one day or in one year or all at once. But little by little, I will drive out your enemies from before you. And this is where the adventure comes in. That's why I believe the life of faith is the most adventurous life you could live. You trust him. You don't know exactly where you're going to go. Instead of Abraham, he went out not knowing where he was going. I think that describes a lot of us. We don't know how he's going to guide us, but we know that he promised and that he would. So throw out the notion that discovering God's will is a formula. You know, if you do 1, 2, and 3, bingo, every time you're going to discover it. Not going to happen. There was a pilot, newly licensed. He was flying a private plane, and the clouds rolled in. It got really foggy. He couldn't see where he was going. And he was not skilled yet at landing by instrumentation. So he's in contact with the control tower. They're giving him directions. He can't see. They're giving him directions. They're helping him land the plane. And as he's coming toward the runway, he suddenly remembered where he was, that he's in a city where there's lots of buildings below. There's lots of mountains around him. He starts getting really freaked out. Finally, the control tower said, look, you just obey our instructions. will take care of the obstructions. I think the Lord would say that to us. Just follow my instructions. Do what I say. I'll take care of the obstructions. That's faith. But you know what? We hate that. We do. Don't kid yourself. We as human beings hate the life of faith. You might stand up and go, oh, not me. I love the life of faith. No, you don't. You're like everybody else. You and I would rather see it with our eyes, figure it out with our mind, rather than waiting for it by faith. You know, wouldn't it be great if you could always have a vision like Peter on the rooftop, or a dream like Joseph in the Old Testament, or a bush speaking to you like Moses had? Wouldn't it be cool? You're going down the street and the tree starts talking to you. And then you go down, there's a bush, starts talking. You go, okay, this can work. I can live this way. But that's living by sight. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So that's the first thing, the guidance principle, faith. The second component to finding your way is the guidance person. And that's the Holy Spirit. This is perhaps one of the best parts. Go to chapter 20. You were in 19. Just turn over to chapter 20. Let's follow this whole progress toward Jerusalem. And now I take you down to verse 22. Paul has left Ephesus, going toward Jerusalem. He stops in Miletus, and there the Ephesian elders come and meet him at the shore. Verse 22. And see, now notice this, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus. Do you hear that? I feel deeply convicted that I should go to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I do know that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me that it's not going to be very pretty. It's going to be painful. There's going to be suffering in Jerusalem. Mentions the Holy Spirit. Did you know that in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 42 times? It's so obvious, reading chapter by chapter, Holy Spirit this, Holy Spirit said, Holy Spirit did, Holy Spirit led, that some have even called the book of Acts, not the book of the Acts of the Apostles, but the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because he is so intertwined in the life of the early church and in the life of the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit. It's exactly what Jesus promised, isn't it? Didn't he tell his disciples that he was leaving, but another counselor, comforter was coming? And he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. That's the guide. When we talk about guidance, we can't forget the guide. There's a great book that I have on my bookshelf. I've used it so many times. I've looked at it for so long. It is falling apart. I just have pages that I just squish together and keep them between two books. It's called The Fight by John White. And he has some very helpful words about guidance. He says, though the Bible never uses the word guidance, which is interesting in itself, it does talk about a guide. Though you may seek guidance, it's God that desires to give you something much better, himself. And deep in your heart, it is a guide, even more than guidance, that you really want. Here's why it's a great thought, because sometimes we're so hung up on how is the guidance going to come and what form, what sign, when we have the guide living inside of us, which can just sort of let us relax a little bit. You got the Holy Spirit living in you. Here's an example. Let's say you went to New York City, which in and of itself is an intimidating town to get around in. There you are. You're in New York City. You've rented a car. Doesn't have GPS, but you have a map. Now, a map, though it's better than just trying to figure it out on your own, can also be intimidating. Let's say somebody knocks on your window and says, excuse me, but you really look lost. I've got some time. If you don't mind, I'll just hop in with you and I'll show you. You tell me where you want to go and I'll take you there. Now, barring that person isn't a serial killer from New York City, that's a good plan. You'd much rather have a guide than just the guidance in the form of a map. That's why I love GPS, because it talks to you. And it says, in 1 mile, turn right on I-195 North. And you wait a little while, you're almost at the off-ramp, turn right now. So, I mean, you have to be like so totally disconnected from reality to miss this thing. And yet, I have done it before. That's the funny thing. So the guidance principle, faith, the guidance person, the Holy Spirit. Here's a third component, The guidance predicament, other voices that come to you. And you say, how is that then a component? Actually, it is, because sometimes the voices from other people that aren't what the Lord is saying to you personally help confirm what God is saying. Sometimes it balances it out and you need to adjust directions. At other times, it just clarifies it. So let's take this one. Paul made the choice. It says in Acts, he purposed in the Spirit. Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 20, I go bound in the Spirit. So he's pretty dead set. Not everybody agreed. Look at chapter 21. We read it, verse 4. Finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They're in Tyre now. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. Now, the best way to look at that, I think, from the sources that I've read, is that they got the same message that we will see coming up, and what Paul has already seen, that if he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to get bound and suffer. And they interpreted that as, well, that means he shouldn't go. So they told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. In the Greek, it's in the present tense. It says, they told Paul again and again and again and again and again for how many days? 7 days not to go to Jerusalem. It was a hard week for Paul because he wants to go to Jerusalem. Every time he has breakfast, lunch, or dinner, there's somebody at the table going, hey, Paul, you know this whole Jerusalem thing you're on? Bad plan, buddy, bad plan. Back off of that. And he had to put up with that for 7 days. Christians from Tyre. Number two, a clergyman from Judea. Look at verse 10. And when we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt. This guy's very dramatic. And he bound his own hands and feet. And he said, so everybody's attention's focused on him, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Very reminiscent of Jeremiah the prophet or Ezekiel the prophet. Visual demonstration. If you own this belt, Paul, you're going to suffer.
We don't always like to ask for directions, but we need them. Fortunately, God is always willing to tell us which way to go. He is our heavenly GPS. Well, we want to share about a resource that will motivate you to take big steps of faith so you can make an impact on this world.
We can walk through life like we're on a beach, leaving a temporary trail in the sand. Or we can carve deep and leave a mark for the kingdom. Skip Heitzig has this thought from his book, Godprint, Making Your Mark for Christ.
Show them that the Lord is with you. Just show by a consistency over time as they observe you. You know, I've been watching you. I think I've had you wrong. I think God really is with you.
Godprint, a book by Skip Heitzig, has practical wisdom for you about expanding the story you will leave behind. In Godprint, Skip zeroes in on Abraham as he stepped out in faith. This month, for a donation of any amount, you'll receive Skip Heitzig's book, Godprint, Making Your Mark for Christ. You will also receive a mug, which features a stunning photo of the view of Jerusalem taken by Skip on his recent trip to Israel. Order today by calling 800-922-1888 or visit connectiononline.org/offers.
When people think about God, they usually only think about His love, grace, and forgiveness. But we must also remember He is holy. Give this teaching as a gift to your friends and family and challenge them to grow in holiness. It's only $6 plus any donation you give above that amount. Just visit connectiononline.org or call 800-922-1888.
Next time on The Connection, Skip points out where we go wrong when we're seeking God's will.
A lot of us get hung up on, who should I marry? Where should I move? What job should I have? What car should I buy? What house should I move to? All of that stuff, when the Bible addresses a whole different issue. As if that's disregarded, though it's not. The real issue with God, it's not those things. It's personal conduct, more so than a personal roadmap.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.